This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to jump on the EmployCycle podcast. We know that so many people are going through things both personally and professionally. So we just want to give you a huge shout out for doing this because we really appreciate it. So in order to get started, I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, your name, what you do, and where you're located.
Sure. My name is Jessica Yuen. I am based in the San Francisco Bay Area in Sunnyvale, California. And I am currently an advisor to people-focused leaders in the startup tech space. Originally got my start as an engineer. So I studied electrical engineering and grew up in Silicon Valley, and then went to grad school and eventually left graduate school to get into business consulting. So started my career on the management consulting side of things, looking at operational and organizational change transformation. Then found my way into big tech and was in product management at Yahoo before finding my way to startups, which I absolutely love. And so I was able to help build up three organizations, one in the consumer education space called Khan Academy, which is a nonprofit that has amazing educational resources. So if you're a parent of a school-aged child, there's a good chance your child has used it. And then went to my next startup at Gusto, which is in the HR benefits and payroll space, and serves small businesses, and had an incredible journey with their hyper growth from dozens of employees up to hundreds of employees. And then served as the chief people officer for an enterprise database company that was global and was at a much later stage in their kind of startup journey.
Got it. And so today we're going to talk about what does the role of HR look like in the new normal? And I think you're very qualified to talk about this because not only have you held a people role in various successful companies, but you're also advising many different people leaders today, and you get to see across different companies what they are going through, what this looks like, and the different trials and struggles that they're going through. So what are some of the biggest issues that you're currently seeing HR leaders deal with that they may not have had to deal with before?
I think it's the biggest one is the level of uncertainty out there and the amount of variability. I think there's processing of, you know, how do we wrap our arms around what is COVID-19, how much of a threat it is, and the fact that, you know, various geographies are handling responses in different ways because of the level of concern and outbreak that's happening. And so there's just a huge amount of variability and adaptability that's required today. I think as an HR person in the space undergoing it, part of the role is around providing that calm and support, and being a listening ear for employees as they're going through something that is in many ways not only challenging, but can encourage a lot of feelings of either fear or unknown or anxiety. And so we're there as part of a stalwart there. There's also an element of the role around figuring out what does this new workplace look like when we're not quite sure what the new regulations yet are going to look like or how they might evolve over time. And so understanding there's some companies that are saying, hey, we're not bringing our employees back necessarily, or you have an option not to come back. And there's other organizations where, frankly, you know, they've been on the front lines the entire time and have been having to figure out a lot of the elements of PPE and guidelines around hygiene, and really figuring out what is in that realm. And then I think there's also an element for HR folks to be thinking about the business and trying to, as much as possible, as much as this is a reactive moment in time, because who would have predicted that we'd be in a global pandemic? There is trying to anticipate and understand what's happening for our business. And based off of what's happening on our business, how do we then end up supporting and cultivating or gap filling with the talent that we have either in place or need to have in place in this moment going forward? I think what's tough about this concept of the new normal is that it sounds like we've sort of figured out, like, there's a new normal and let's go to it, as opposed to the fact that what we are really in is that there will be a new normal and we're still figuring it out. And there's going to be a lot of listening and learning that we'll need to be doing in order to be able to meet the needs of what's to come.
As I interview more and more HR and people leaders on our podcast, the more I realize that a lot of people have no idea how stressed out HR leaders are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are they dealing with all of the personal and professional issues that they may have to deal with, whether their kids are at home or they have loved ones that are sick or may have passed away, but then they're also thinking about how do they reduce the stress and anxiety of all of their employees in dealing with all of that as well. So can you talk about some of the things that you've seen HR leaders really struggle with from a personal standpoint as they're also trying to take care of the workforce? Because that seems to be a really hard balance right now.
Absolutely. It's very relevant. I just was facilitating a roundtable of people leaders, and where we started the conversation was about how do you think about return to office, and where the conversation veered and stayed for some time was about self-care for themselves through this, because there's an emotional load that always comes with this job. But because the emotions are so much right now, this idea of what we're taking on, in addition to figuring out like the legislature of like, how does FFCRA impact our employees? And, you know, are we furloughing? Are we laying off? Are we, you know, what are we doing in these times? Those, all of those elements take on so much. And so when it comes to self-care, there's foundational pieces, like just prioritizing sleep, thinking about how, what are the things that we can, that are really, really critical that we need to get done? And what is everything else that we can sort of say no to or delay until it's needed, just so that we have some breathing room? I think HR professionals have been working round the clock and harder than I have heard in many, many, maybe ever, just to be able to meet the demands of what this global crisis has created. But I think there's also really interesting things that have been bubbling up too of what's happening organizationally to meet these needs. So one HR leader had mentioned they brought in a therapist to talk to their team about how therapists handle the emotional load that they go through of taking on all of kind of their patients' emotional load. I've seen teams that have tried to figure out, you know, is there a fun question that we ask every day just to stay connected? And maybe there's content overload and meeting overload, but maybe it's this like in our, you know, messaging channel or Slack channel, we're asking something like, hey, what'd you eat for today? Post your picture, so that there's this feeling of connectedness and belonging that's happening. There's a lot of well-being or mental wellness programs that are being considered for companies as a whole. And so there's been definitely, I think, a much higher adoption in the last few months for organizations to take on a new program. I think the stat I saw was that if you have a mental wellness offering for your employees, they see it as it was something like there's, you know, 60% more likely to feel like their company cares about their well-being. And so I've seen HR professionals saying, hey, we not only did this for our company, but I've signed up for it myself to make sure that I'm also being cared for too. So I think there's really a huge gamut of what's being done to address it. But at its core, it does start with self-care and making sure that there are moments to, you know, stand outside, you know, get a little bit of exercise, see to the extent possible that you're eating regularly, sleeping regularly. So it's not, you know, necessarily a magic bullet or a silver bullet in there, but it's, you know, a lot of little things trying to add up and make sure that we're prioritizing ourselves. It's the idea of putting on the air mask first before, you know, helping everybody else put on their air mask, to use the airplane analogy.
Another struggle that I've heard from many HR and people leaders is that there's just so much information overload right now that it's really hard to keep up with all the things around compliance and OSHA and social distancing measures and come back to work. I mean, what do you advise HR leaders to do to stay on top of all this information without really going crazy? Because there's just so much that you have to take in. And it seems like it's changing on a minute-by-minute basis.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there has been an overwhelming outpouring of content and guidance. And in many ways, it's like, wow, thank goodness it's all out there. But on the other hand, it's like, ooh, who do I trust or where do I go to? And so I think for me, where I've tried to focus is on a couple of things. One is I've been fortunate to have communities of people, leaders that I've been involved in and folks that I respect. And so when I see them, posting something on LinkedIn where they say, hey, this is the thing that you should go to. There's a few documents out there that have sort of collated everything together and highlighted, hey, here's the top ones. I've focused on sort of those types of offerings. I've also tried to the extent for different channels, for example, for compliance. Many of the law firms have offered free compliance webinars or have a website that's dedicated to COVID-19. So I've picked like one law firm to focus on, and I follow kind of what their guidance is. And for real estate and workplace firms, similarly, they've been putting out guidance on like, here's how to think about new standards for workplace. And so I've chosen one, not necessarily, it's hard because it's like, you don't know if it's the best one, but you pick one that you sort of think is reliable and it's going to be keeping me enough up to speed. And I pay attention to that. And then just knowing that I have a few people, leaders that I really do trust and admire and know that they're consuming a lot more information and, lean on them too. I think this leaning on the community of people, leaders has been really, really valuable. And I think it's something early in my career, just wished I had done more of, is being able to connect to those and at other organizations or even in other geographies and industries to keep aware of what are the challenges that are actually very much similar. And then sometimes understanding, for example, most of my clients are in the technology space. So lots of white collar engineering type workers. So most of their jobs just went work from home. But recently I was talking to a people leader who is leading an organization where they're doing food delivery. And so this entire time they've had workers on the front lines. And as we spoke more and more, we realized that a lot of what we were doing around employee communications and reminding of like all that the organization had done to show care and compassion were things that they realized they needed to do more communication around that. And then all the stuff that they had been doing around hygiene and PPE and compliance was stuff that we were like, oh man, we're going to need that as soon as we get back into the workplace. And so there was this really beautiful exchange of things that on the surface didn't seem like they connected, but ended up connecting. And so I think finding just like a few outlets and then sort of being okay with letting go of the rest is what we can do. My mom, when I was a kid, my mom used to just tell me when I'd get overwhelmed, she's like, just do your best. That's all you can do. That's all you can ask for. There's only 24 hours in a day. So you got to take care of yourself in that. And then you've got to use the rest of the time to do just the best that you can do and let go of the rest. And I think that's absolutely true in these times.
So now let's talk about the future. A lot of people are saying that HR is really leading companies through this crisis. And one of the things that we've been saying with Employee Cycle is in the 08 crisis, it was really about CFOs and finance trying to save the company or save the country from an economic crisis. But now HR is really leading companies through this health crisis. So do you think moving forward that HR will be pretty much the same role as it was before and just some things have changed based off of how the crisis has impacted the country and the world? Or do you think HR will really come out of this as a new role and most importantly, perceived as a much more essential function?
I am very optimistic that it will come out of this with a very different perception. And I think it's hard to generalize to that extent of like everybody's going to think one way or another. But I think there certainly has been, the stage has been set that this role is critical in an organization. What leaders do with that might be different. But I think we've been given the opportunity to, have that opportunity to sit at the table and be able to say like, hey, here is what we offer. I think there's, as we think about the HR skill sets that are going to be required in this new day and age, I think this crisis has highlighted the importance of kind of the having access to data and analytics and being able to consume that very quickly, the ability for HR to care about the business in a meaningful way and be a partner, a thought partner in that, to be there for the employees, helping to coach them through it and work through some really difficult decisions, and be kind of operators to support these huge changes that are coming and the transformation that's here. at the end of the day, the opportunity is there, and it is ours essentially to showcase how we can step up in these moments of what we can do with that opportunity.
As a people dashboard company, we're all about helping companies or HR leaders quickly answer all their most pressing workforce questions. And one of the things that we've been thinking about is, how is that going to change moving forward? And are there new metrics and new types of data that HR leaders will now need to manage and understand how to leverage to make better workforce decisions that they didn't use before? One of the things that I'm seeing now is that a lot of companies are sending out remote workforce surveys and then trying to figure out not only what are the scores, but from a qualitative standpoint, what do people need? And then how do we react to those needs to make sure that while people are working remotely, they're productive, they're engaged? So from your standpoint, what are you seeing and how are you advising people leaders to be able to use data now, and how you think they're going to need it to use it moving forward to be able to get more insight into their workforce and continue to have a great workforce in the future?
Yeah, I think data is so important because it can surface many things more quickly in some cases. However, I also say data is the beginning of the conversation, not the end of it. And so I think it's wonderful that Employee Cycle has a dashboard and there are more and more tools that are being able to help process and surface and automate, frankly, what has been a lot of spreadsheets and crunching and difficulty for consistency of the reporting. But it is still in combination with being able to have a conversation of what's really going on. And so I think with things like surveying employees on a regular basis, not only through the crisis, but continuing forward, it's a wonderful way to be able to have a pulse on the organization, but then also then take a look at whatever your heat map's telling you of, here are the hotspots in the organization I really need to dive into, and not stop at, there's a problem here, let's figure it out. But actually, as in the figuring it out, to have conversations and talking to people. I think oftentimes when we think about data, it feels like, ooh, we have data and then we analyze it and then we come to an answer. And really what's so important about the people space is that we all know it's not black and white, and there's oftentimes a lot of gray that we're trying to look through. And so being able to pair kind of black and white data with conversations and secondary level analytics and more understanding, I think, is going to be able to provide a fuller, richer, you know, palette of what's going on, of going on in the space.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because what we're seeing is that there's this unprecedented opportunity for HR to really communicate what they've done and how they were able to lead the company through this crisis to show the true value of the function. And then with the combination of data, it's not really about just answering all your questions, but a lot of times it's about figuring out what are the questions to ask. So when you combine those together, how would you advise people leaders to truly be able to take advantage of this opportunity and tell the right story, whether they're using data or not, around what this role means to the company and how it should be perceived as one of the most important functions moving forward?
I think that's, you know, the million or trillion, maybe trillion dollar question these days of, you know, how do you really influence oftentimes leadership at an organization? I think there are some very, you know, progressive organizations culturally where they've already done this with their people teams, and they've put them in a place where they understand how much influence they have on the culture and mindsets and behaviors of their employees. I think being able to pair it with data of measurement, of saying, hey, here's what we saw, and then we put in place a few efforts to address needs. So for example, if it's mental well-being, we saw that our employees were very concerned about, you know, self-care and anxiety and all of these things through COVID. Then we put in place XYZ measures. And then when we measured it again, here's the differential that we saw. I think being able to show changes like that again and again, time and again, build up not only credibility, but also the reliability of the organization to be able to say, like, hey, we're seeing something or hearing something that are about from our employees. And not only are we measuring it, but we're actually doing something against it, and then being able to show that there's been a difference and that we are changing things. So I think it is that, to your point around being able to use data to tell that story is so powerful. But I think it takes time and it takes consistency. And one thing in particular around surveying that I encourage with my clients is that, you know, ask the questions if you're willing, if you're open to the answers that you're going to get and willing to do something about it. And if you're not willing to do anything about it, in many cases, it's like, don't ask the question. And so I think that's something that you can see kind of a gamut, a full gamut when it comes to leadership and their comfort level of what gets asked and how to address it. On both the asking and the addressing of it.
Wow, that was really powerful. And to end the interview, always like to ask, in this people and HR leader role moving forward, what do you think are going to be the most important skill sets to bring to the table and the mindset that you're going to have in order to help your company through this and continue to thrive after we get to a point where we get to some sense of normalcy or whatever that is, just the new world out there in the future, whatever we're calling it, what skill sets and mindset will be critical for HR and people leaders to be able to do their role at the best of their ability?
Yeah, I'll start with mindsets. The two that come that are at the forefront for me are growth mindset, which is this idea of being open to learning and excited about learning, just given all the changes that are happening and all that's coming out, got to be excited about learning and gobbling up all that new information and new ways of doing things. The other is resiliency. I think we are in a time and place where I know personally from day to day, one moment I'm feeling okay. And the next moment I'm feeling a rush of a mix of emotions of fear and anger and whatnot. And it's hard to process. And so I think building up our resiliency muscles to be able to handle, you know, whatever this new normal is going to be critical as well. In terms of skills for HR, I would say, you know, we've already talked a lot about data and analytics. So I think being comfortable with data, being able to tell a story with data, that's going to be critical. I think business acumen is going to be extremely important to be able to really be taken seriously and to be able to be proactive in this role, to understand what's going on in the business and what are the needs that talent's going to be needing to meet. And I think for that one, which oftentimes seems overwhelming and vague of like, what is business acumen? I would start with just simply asking questions about the business. Like as you're going through your day to day, you're like, oh, what's happening? Like, what's the sales thing mean? And you can start with basics. And over time, you'll get more and more curious and sophisticated about those questions. And that oftentimes starts to allow others to see like, hey, this HR person is not just like only doing people things, but they really care about the business. They're thinking about the business and thinking how it ties together. And then I think the third skill that we are growing much more deeply into as a profession is around coaching and support of our people and figuring out how can we be better at listening and understanding and empathizing and encouraging them along their employee journey and the growth that they need to do and supporting them in that way. I think the skills that we've always had still are important, you know, understanding the core of how to do like compensation and benefits and recruiting and everything, all of those are still important, but now we're layering on, and to your point, this role has expanded. So those are the ones that around data, business acumen, and coaching that I would be thinking come and layer on top of it.
Jessica, you have been such an awesome podcast guest, and I'm sorry to say that I wasn't your first podcast because I missed you by just a couple days. But either way, so happy to be the second podcast you've ever done. So on behalf of our team and everyone who's going to be listening to this interview and learning so much, just want to say thank you. We hope that you, your family, and everyone in your network are safe and healthy. So thanks again.
Thank you, Bruce.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.